Good morning. This is David Rubin, and I'm with Bob Flynn talking about the law. We're going to have a guest on now, Diane Pappas, who is a certified divorce financial planner. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Good. How are you? It's nice to have you on.
Hi. Good morning, Diane. This is Bob Flynn. How are you?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Diane, I thought that before we got into the content of what we're going to discuss this morning, we ought to talk a little bit about the Divorce Center, which we're both involved in, and how that ties in with our respective practices.
Right.
So the Divorce Center is a nonprofit group, as we know, which whose mission it is to explain the divorce process to people that are beginning the process of getting divorced. And we explain to people how both the law works and the pitfalls and potential traps for the unwary in psychological, legal, and financial aspects. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do in the Divorce Center in that regard?
Yes, well, I'm actually a new member of the on the board of directors, and we just had a meeting a couple weeks ago where we reinstated our mission, and we really want to be the go-to place for reference for people who are going through a divorce. And we are a multidisciplinary group. So like you said, we have lawyers, we have attorneys, we psychologists and financial people, and we are really there to educate the public, and that's what our mission and our goal is going to be. And so I'm part of that team, and looking forward to becoming a significant member of the board.
Well, that's great. We have wrestled with the issues of financial planning, and these are some of the issues that everybody goes through in divorce. And some of the key issues that we run across all the time, of course, are what do you do with the marital home, what do you do with retirement assets, and, of course, the issue of health insurance has become more significant, particularly as it has become more expensive in recent years.
Right.
When somebody comes in to see you in your office or another attorney, whether it's myself or somebody else, is discussing a client with you, and we're discussing these issues, why don't we take them one at a time? Let's talk about the marital home, for instance, and let's take a fairly common situation where you have a long-term marriage, there's a couple of kids, they're still in school, and the mom and dad are splitting up. What do you do with the marital home? And if you're advising either one of them, what are some of the concerns that you have?
Well, as you know, the marital home is always an emotionally charged issue, and it's mostly because the kids are involved, and the wife just really feels adamant about staying in the home. On the flip side, the husband is usually adamant about keeping his 401k or his pension plan, and we can get to that later. But the issue of staying in the marital home, although many women want to stay in it and remain in it because they don't want to change the situation for their children, they don't want to be disruptive, and it's what they've known for the last, you know, several years, they feel comfortable there. The key question is, can they really afford to stay in the home?
The question is the logistics. How do you do it?
Right, and can you really afford it? And that's what we do. That's one of our very first steps. We always like to address the marital home first because everybody needs a place to live. But we also want to make sure that they're going to be able to afford it. We certainly don't want to put anyone in a situation where they're going to be struggling, you know, the second year they're in the home. It might be good to keep the children there, but if you are struggling to pay the bills, that's going to trickle down and the children are going to feel it. They're going to feel the added stress. So it's really important in the beginning to make sure that you can afford it, and that is really looking at your cash flow and looking at being realistic about the expenses that you're going to have by staying in the home.
So
if I could just It seems to me that on all of these situations in divorce, with the average person, it's almost always going to be unaffordable to have two homes.
Yeah.
When you've had one, you know, the income is not going up. It's just
right.
not going. I see this in my world, which is accident law, and people are out of work, and they truly struggle for a year during recuperation
mm-hmm.
to keep things together. And at least they have an out. There's a they'll recover. But with the divorce situation, I would think. I guess my question is, when you say afford, are you talking in terms of just making it, or are you talking about being able to actually start saving money again and build for the future?
Well, I'm really talking about being able to stay in the home. And if you're working, will your income and child support possibly and maybe some alimony if you have a part-time job, will all that income support the expenses of staying in the home? Will it support a new mortgage payment? Can you pay the real estate taxes, the insurance? And just because one person has moved out, a lot of the expenses are not going to change. That it might change your food bill, your groceries, maybe your dining out, but it's not going to change the other expenses. Those are still going to be the same. And like you said, where you have an income that once was supporting one household, now has to support two households, and that's very difficult.
So, Diane, what do you look at when you try to make a determination as to whether the marital home is affordable or not?
Well, we look at all the different scenarios that are out there. If you want to stay in the home and own it yourself, you would have to do a buyout. And a buyout occurs when you have the equity in the home and you need to split that equity, assuming that the house was purchased during the marriage with marital assets. Each of you are entitled to half of the equity. Maybe you've decided that, yes, that's the route you're going to go. So in this case, the wife would have to refinance if she doesn't have cash to pay the equity to the ex-husband. She would have to refinance, do a cash out, and pay the equity to the ex-husband and also remove his name from the mortgage. If she can qualify for a mortgage in that respect, then she would be able to do that.
Of course, the big question is, can she qualify for a mortgage?
Exactly.
So what do you look at, what do banks look at when trying to determine whether the wife can buy out the husband's interest in the marital home?
Well, income is number one. So if you have a job and your job can support the new mortgage payment and it fits into the ratios, then that's fine. As long as you have a credit history and a good credit history, you're a good credit risk, you may be approved for the new mortgage. However, if you've been a stay-at-home mom, which is a lot of times the case, and you'll be getting child support and alimony, that income hasn't started yet. So a bank or a mortgage company really wants to see the history of receiving that income, and you don't have that. So typically, they might have to wait a year in order to have about 8 or 12 months of evidence or proof that they've been receiving alimony. And the alimony and the child support should continue for at least 3 years. That's another thing that the banks look for, is that this income is going to continue for 3 years. So they will ask for a copy of the separation agreement. Maybe there's a child who's nearing emancipation. They might take that, they might back out that amount of money from child support.
Now, in the during that transition period, what I have often negotiated is having the wife remain in the marital home even after the two parents have separated with the children, with the provision that the buyout occur later on.
Right.
Have you done those kinds of situations?
Yes, definitely, and that's a good situation. But you also need to address things during that year, and you also need to have a contingency plan. Who's going to make those payments? It should be her, because if she wants to qualify, she wants to show the mortgage company that she's been making the mortgage payments without any help. So she should be the one making the payments. But what if she can't make those payments? What if the house, she changes her mind? There has to be a contingency plan, because you don't want a contempt.
Right, and sometimes the child support and or alimony payments may or may not be enough to cover that financial nut.
Right, exactly. So in that situation, you have two other choices. I don't know if you want to talk about those. You can own the home together for a while.
Diane, why don't we pick that up, those two choices, after the break, and we'll continue this.
Hey, okay. Diane, we're going right to a break, but I was just wondering, you're a CFP?
No, I'm a CDFA, which is a Certified Divorce Financial Analyst.
Okay, and where are you located? What's your firm called?
Well, our firm is Insight Financial Strategists, and we have an office in Arlington and an office in Gloucester. But we also have clients from all over Massachusetts, the Metro West, south of Boston, Boston, and the North Shore.
Right. That's great, Diane. Let's pick it up and continue this after the break.
This is Bob Flynn and Dave Rubin talking with Diane
Pappas.
Be right back.